Hot 1027 Business with Michael Avery.
Well, 2 years since NASPAS management embarked on a strategy to unlock shareholder value, one new company, a couple of listings, and a buyback program later, and it looks like the exact opposite seems to have happened. NASPAS once constituted around a quarter of the JSE shareholder-weighted index, the SWIX, and has been a major contributor to the performance of South African equities over the last 15 years. But that all started to creak when China started its regulatory crackdown last year, and recent market moves, and more specifically the deep drawdown and then the rebound over the 15th and 16th of March last month, do appear to be a particular anomaly, with investor sentiment fluctuating from despair to exuberance over a couple of days. Well, what can we attribute this to, and how should investors be responding? Well, to answer this question, I've invited Sean Nietling, Portfolio Manager for Morningstar Investment Management SA. Good evening, Sean. The trillion rand question is what's going to happen, I guess, to NASPAS's big money spinner Tencent. Let's just start with that China story. How are you reading this regulatory crackdown on the tech sector, and where are we in that particular cycle?
Evening, Michael. Thank you for having me on. So I think, you know, there's a couple of themes which are playing out here, specifically on the regulatory side. I think there are a number of, I suppose, what you can call known unknowns. So obviously the big concern from a South African perspective, because the entry point into Tencent is typically through NASPAS, is the ownership structure. So VIEs, you know, they provide investors with a claim on cash flows, but not necessarily with a claim on the underlying assets. So that's relatively well known. And I think that's the risk that investors pay the most attention to. There are a number of other risks which are also, you know, underneath the surface and have been bubbling over. So more specifically, we're looking at antitrust regulation against China big tech. We're looking at also increased sort of data scrutiny into companies, and particularly the treatment of private information. And then on the other side, the U.S. regulators also starting to clamp down. So there are these, you know, these risks on the regulatory side, which have become a bit more prominent over the last 12 months since the EdTech sort of crackdown in China last year. So, you know, these risks have been around for a while. And I think if you look at sort of the price action just in China big tech, so you look at Meituan, you look at Tencent, and you look at Alibaba, a lot of these things have sort of come to fruition. And if you look at the first 3 months of the year in particular, almost the convergence of sort of all these tail risks in the world. You have geopolitical risks with Russia, and also if you look at financial market risk in terms of inflation coming out of the U.S. So there is this just convergence of tail risk in the world at the moment, and if you throw in the Chinese regulatory risk on top of that, you know, anything associated with China tech, and particularly in South Africa's case, NASPAS and Prosus, the outlook doesn't look especially attractive. From our side, we've largely looked at it from a portfolio management perspective as well. So I think there's a fundamental thesis for NASPAS and Prosus. And then we typically spend most of our time looking at how that maps into portfolios that we run for clients.
Yeah, one has to, because of the concentration risk. And I recall management at the time that they embarked on this value unlock strategy. I think the discount to its see-through asset value was at around 30-odd percent. We look at where it is now, I think it's double that. It's around 60-odd percent. So on that score, you've got to say that management haven't done particularly well. When it comes to narrowing that discount, I know many shareholders have called for the easiest thing from the outside to do is probably just to unbundle that stake in Tencent. But clearly, we don't know what kind of deals management have potentially struck with the Chinese authorities off the record or any of that kind of thing. But what would you like to see management do to close that yawning discount?
Yeah, I think, Michael, that tends to be the elephant in the room. I mean, we spoke about sort of the regulatory risk, which is largely sitting outside of NASPAS and Tencent and largely outside of their control. But I think one of the main concerns from investors, especially local investors, has been the inability, like you mentioned, or sometimes even unwillingness of management to implement measures to meaningfully close that gap. So they've tried a few things over the years. They've tried to unbundle some assets, for example. MultiChoice comes to mind. But the reality is, if you look at the South African environment, we've seen a number of delistings in terms of, you know, shareholders not necessarily being able to unlock value through the listed environment. We've seen sort of moves by PSG to also take, you know, take business private. So it seems unlikely, you know, that discount is going to be unlocked in the public space in a listed market. So I think, you know, most shareholders would be looking towards management at this stage to have more clarity in terms of, you know, what their concrete and more specific plans are around that. And then I think, you know, some intent in terms of considering either unbundling further assets or potentially looking at private markets to unlock that value, because it doesn't appear at this stage as though a listed environment is going to provide that unlock.
And one also has to look at the way management are incentivized, because incentives drive behavior. Even for very, very smart people, you do what you're incentivized to do. And as far as I'm aware, there's no incentive around narrowing that discount to NAV. It's not one of the incentives in the structure. So I guess questions could be asked around that. And I know for a long time people have, you know, questioned the holding structure and the different classes of shares. But that's really, I mean, if you buy into Naspers, you knew that from the very beginning. That's what you get. I want to come back to the issue, though, on Tencent, the underlying here. Because if you look at their most recent earnings call, I think management there in Tencent were guiding towards a recovery at the end of this year. But it did allude to this new industry paradigm based on these regulatory changes that we've discussed in China. And it does almost look as though management are now focused more on things like cost rationalization, optimization. All sounds like words that ex-growth companies use. Is Tencent now thought of as ex-growth?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. Look, I think, you know, what we've observed in Chinese tech across the opportunity set is that there is some pressure on, let's call it, operating margins. Mm. If we just focus on Tencent, I suppose, you know, if you look at something like WeChat and WeChat Pay in particular, particularly strong network effects, you know, they've got a substantial subscriber base, which they have been growing fairly meaningfully over the last couple of years. It's really difficult to make a call on sort of the growth prospects at this stage. But I do think, you know, with the regulatory clampdown, we are moving to a, let's call it, a new paradigm where the pressure from the regulator to be more transparent in terms of how you're handling data, how you're treating private client information. I mean, these are all going to be particularly prominent sort of concerns which need to be addressed by these tech companies. And Tencent is no different. So I think in this type of environment, you know, regardless of what fundamental long-term valuations look like, these companies in the short term are particularly challenged, and I think it will get potentially a lot worse before it gets better. Mm-hmm. But I think if you look at where valuations have moved to from a statistical perspective, it looks cheap. But at the same time, like I mentioned, in this regulatory cycle and given the convergence of geopolitical and financial risks around the world, a lot of this could take longer to play out than what most investors would initially think.
Right, good point there. So, in other words, it's unlikely that you're going to see Tencent re-rating in the near term from what we see as these current relatively cheap valuations. So you've got to sit and hold and sit on your hands for a while if you still believe in those underlying fundamentals. Ultimately, what would you be doing in your portfolio now, considering all of this that we've just discussed?
I think that's the most important question, Michael. I think from our side, you know, we really look at managing risk at a portfolio level. I think it's useful to talk through specific companies, you know, in terms of their fundamentals. But the way that we actually balance and control for risk and return in the portfolio is through position sizing. So I think at this point we are, let's call it, cautiously optimistic. So we do have some exposure, I suppose, to the underlying, you know, Chinese tech companies, but being very sort of slow in building that position. And I think, you know, for us, the valuation stacks up. But at this stage, there are too many unknowns in terms of, you know, just what the outlook and the trajectory for these regulatory risks are at this point in time. So I think we've got some exposure in our portfolios, not particularly meaningful, but we would need to see some sort of transparency in terms of where the regulator is looking to move, not only in China, but also, like I mentioned, U.S. regulations also come into play. So we've really sized that at an appropriate level to, I suppose, account for these known unknowns at this point in time.
Thank you very much. Talking Naspers was Sean Nietling, Portfolio Manager for Morningstar Investment Management South Africa, here on Hot Business.